Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Join me and Swain in this citations and asking, where have all the statesmen gone? Long time passing. Long time ago. Where have all the public intellectuals gone? Long time passing. Long time ago. I've got a full show packed for you today. Today, I wanted to explore the discussion on public intellectuals through music in particular. But then I looked at the papers this morning, and we still have lots to talk about. So we're going to get the show started right now. First of all, I want to remind everyone of the HHT Family Association Jumble Sale. It's going to take place this Saturday, the 25th of May. So Saturday, the 25th of May, not this Saturday coming. The 25th of May, it's going to start at 8 a.m. We're going to have breakfast, we're going to have snacks. But most of all, we're hoping that HHT family members participate both by coming out and supporting the event, but supporting the event by donating gently used goods. And if you have it, some new things. But we're looking for gently used and used goods to be a part of our fundraising effort for the HHT Family Association Family Reunion. It's going to take place this August, 1st through 5th of August. It's going to be a good time. So reach out through Facebook or WhatsApp to your HHT spaces. Identify yourself. Let people know that you want to, or you have something to be picked up or donated to the Jumble Sale. And you could reach out via WhatsApp to 455-7242. That's 455-7242. I'm going to find another number for you in a moment, because why not have two numbers? Why not? Make it easier for you to support the family. Now, a quick note before we get into the show. There's a wildfire in Grand Bahama as well. It seems that we are in the midst of a crisis. Fire in Andrus burning for well over a month. Multiple fires in Abaco. A fire in Exuma. Multiple fires in New Providence. A scrapyard fire and Coral Harbor wildfires. And now there is a wildfire burning in Grand Bahama. Please stay tuned to your local radio stations, particularly, I mean, when my show on, but when the news comes on, keep up to date with the news about all of these fires, and then prepare yourself to be a part of a charitable effort to restore any residents who have lost things due to the fire, have health issues arising due to the smoke from the fire. It's amazing. I want to say good morning to my co-host today, Mr. Nuri. Good morning.
Good morning. As usual, I'm always pleased and flattered
when you invite me to be a part of your show. So, Well, that's good.
I want to carry on the conversation from yesterday, and you were a major proponent of that discussion, so I didn't want to have that without you. Of course, we're going to talk about the story on the top fold of both papers today, Guardian, cannabis bills tabled in House, Tribune, marijuana bills tabled, and then another set of stories in the Guardian. The headline is Minister Hits Out at Plans for New Hospital. In the Tribune, the headline is Are Naysayers Aware of the State of Healthcare in Nassau? Asks Davis. So I want to go quickly through, I guess, the first portion of the show. Where have all the public intellectuals gone? We're checking the letter to the editor page to see if any of our frequent and regular social commentators are appearing in today's papers. And I guess, you know, the question attached to that is, does writing a bunch of letters to the editor make you a public intellectual? Right? Mr. Newry, what do you think?
I see no reason why not. It allows you to participate in intellectualism, if I could use that as a word, where you have discourse in terms of a public discourse, mm-hmm. in terms of direction, in terms of concept and theory. So I would believe, and I would say, being a part of writing inside the, you are definitely a part of it. Now, if you put a pseudonym, I have mixed feelings about it, because definitely you are part of discourse, mm-hmm. right? But you haven't attached yourself or recognized yourself that people could critique you.
Right.
Right. And part of the discourse is the critique, to say, well, you said this, but I disagree.
Right.
You know?
So one of the questions arising from yesterday's discussion is, can the public intellectual successfully represent the people outside of his or her own social class? If you are remaining anonymous, then what is absent is a lot of context, right? Context, so we could better understand what you are saying, because we know where you are located in the discussion. Mm-hmm. I want to do this. I read some names. Yes, I called off some names yesterday, and it was not even a short list. And so I wanted to identify some people who I think are public intellectuals in society. This is not an exhaustive list. If you know someone who has filled that role, then text in or call in and let us know. But here are some names. Jeannie Thompson, mm-hmm. Nicolette Bethel, mm-hmm. Ian Strawn, mm-hmm. Alicia Wallace, mm-hmm. Marion Bethel, mm-hmm. Pamela Burnside, mm-hmm. Philip Galanis, he mm-hmm. writes regularly in the Guardian. Alicia Wallace has a regular column mm-hmm. in the Tribune. Tony Bennett Bethel, Patricia Glinton McCullis.
Yes.
Asha Lilawati Raming, she's an architect mm-hmm. and the
poet, writer.
Right. They have
essayist.
They had a show on radio, and the name escapes me right now, but where they created a space to discuss the issues around architecture, construction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guardian Radio, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Felix Bethel. Mm-hmm.
The late Felix Bethel.
The late Felix Bethel. Helen Clenaris, mm-hmm. Lynn Sweeting.
Oh, yeah.
Both writers. They wrote regularly and frequently in the local media. They were reporters or journalists, and then they wrote as commentators as well. Dr. Chris Curry. Mm-hmm. Christopher Davis. Mm-hmm. Pat Ramming, mm-hmm. Lyle Bethel,
yeah.
Cedric Moss,
yeah.
Barrington Brennan,
yes, 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 yes.
Nyambi Hall Campbell Dean,
yeah.
Christian Campbell,
yeah. It's a beautiful list, by the way.
Edmund Moxey,
yes.
Now,
the late Edmund Moxey. Okay.
Stick a pin there. There are obviously names that I don't know. A part of that is because it appears as if, at the national level, the hunter has been documenting the story of the lion this whole time. I think that there are a lot of names that we don't know, because it was not politically expedient at the time to acknowledge those people offering critique as public intellectuals. It was not politically expedient at the time to document their work because their work was so fresh and relevant to the politics of the time. And so I think we've done ourselves a disservice because I know that this list is far longer than this, but I don't know the names to put there because how do you find their work? And then we have another issue, right? A lot of these people's contributions would have been documented through the media. Well, The Guardian is sort of missing a chunk of its archive, and I could see that they're actively trying to recover articles. If you go on their website, you'll see some articles at the date. It'll say updated, right? It'll have the original date of post and then the date that it was added to the new website, to the new archive. And so there's a lot of work that's missing. I want to put Ankou Sara on the list as a public intellectual as well, being a student of Ankou Sara through The Spot, an improv comedy, and the work that The Spot did as social commentators and bringing conversations, sometimes uncomfortable conversations, to the public in a way that they could easily receive them.
Do you have any more people on your list?
Well, I have a question. When does a politician become a public intellectual?
I was going to get there, but I wanted to see if your list was completed.
Yeah, well, that part of the list is completed.
Okay. I would have said Donaldson, the one who died.
Dr. Elwood.
Edward Donaldson.
Right.
Maurice Glinton, the constitutional lawyer, and he what he does in terms of setting the record straight. I even go Gibbon Morris in terms of his conversations. Yep. Right. Ed Fields in terms of his conversations. But going back to politicians in terms of public intellectuals, right? At one point in time, Bohemian people would have fall back on a Hubert Ingraham. But in terms of modern time, he is no longer a resource or is not used as a resource given social commentary, despite all his knowledge, despite of his eloquence, despite of his, what they call it, institutional knowledge, right? He hasn't been active in terms of giving his professional, his past studies or whatever the right word for it, to say, well, this should have been done. This is the policies. This is best for the Bahamas. This is what we should be doing to move forward.
I haven't read Hubert Ingraham's book. It's volume one, right?
It's a lot of speeches.
Right, and perhaps that's the space that we would then find his quote-unquote work as a...
With the social commentary. Part of the public intellectualism is social commentary.
Right.
There is, okay, in contrast to a Chivago Light,
right,
who's in his profession now as a talk show host, gives social commentary on what happened before, what happened during his
tenure
in politics, why things happens this way, and allows the Bohemian people to appreciate, so, okay, I see it. I disagree, or I do agree, but I see it. So he adds to the public conversation. I don't see that with Perry Christie nor Hubert Ingraham at this present time.
Do you think the FNM sees the value of Zhivago Lang as a public intellectual, right? And do you think they see it and acknowledge that he should be an FNM senator, right? A statesman, a public intellectual, but because it's not politically expedient, he will never be able to hold that space because he's seen as a threat to the existing FNM structure.
Culture dictates the law. I think that's a famous quote too, right?
Yeah.
Culture dictates to law. The culture of the Bahamas is for those people in waiting who did not make it into the House of Assembly.
That's very recent culture, man.
But this culture be at least 20,
it's only political, 30. But that's only political culture.
But it's a Senate and the House of Assembly is a political institution.
Outside of that space, people are relying, the culture is social promotion. I've been here the longest, so I should get the job.
Yeah.
It's that. I think that culture is distinct to the political culture, right? I agree with you. It has happened over successive administrations over the last couple of decades, easily 20 years, 30 years, but...
I only wanted to explain why Zhivago Lang hasn't been promoted to a Senate. And then there's value, also value or lack thereof, of the Senate. Senate's paid less than the House of Assembly. And it's supposed to be a part-time job. That's the reason why I said you already retired. You already have your own money.
Right,
you have
your pension. Man.
You don't need the money. You're doing this because of service. Therefore, you just need change, pocket change to buy lunch.
All
so
right.
That's what the Senate is for. But at this present time, we find that our seniors are busy. Busy either paying bills still.
Or trying to make money to pay bills
still. Trying to make money to pay bills. So giving up their time to be in the Senate. They say, man, this ain't beneficial, man. I'll try help the Bahamas in a different way.
And which is why I think interesting from the excerpt from the 50th Independence Masterclass Lecture Series featuring Sir Franklin Wilson and Sean McQueenie, KC. Mr. McQueenie pointed out that one common denominator that people who epitomized idealism in the Bahamas had was a true sense of selflessness, serving their country above self. Quote, there were individuals in our history have risen above themselves, sometimes in just one single spectacular verse that emblazons them into history. In other cases, the cumulative accomplishments of a lifetime. Mr. McQueenie said, deep down, there was always a subjugation of self to the service of higher ideals that make us better than we were before. We could refer to it as the power of one, individuals who do not wait on the government or someone else to do things for them. They go out there through their own initiative, do something truly historic and transformative. Close quotes. I think for this conversation, when Mr. McQueenie points out the common denominator was a true sense of selflessness, serving their country above self. So this is a problem, not the political culture that has changed the nature of the Senate, but those who should demand that I am willing to sacrifice these other things to fill this role. I just throw it on the table, right?
And I was trying to glean and appreciate what you said, right? Mm. It reminds me of a conversation I've had with Paul Fernando.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the comment that talk show radio is a new thing to the Bahamas. Is that it's useful? And I said, okay, when did it start? He said, it started 40 years ago. And I said, my God, 40 years is youthful. That's a whole generation ago, right? It can't consider it youthful. And then I hear the Honorable Sean McQueenie speak mm-hmm. of a bygone era of why things happened, right? And I'm saying, that's 60, 70 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
The culture is recent. Culture is what is participated and continued every day.
Right.
So what he is explaining is no longer part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of our past, our history. But as a public intellectual, you're supposed to be promoting, heralding, defining, explaining current culture.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mean current culture, I'm in the past 40 years of what typical it is that we do.
Absolutely.
And what he's saying now, suggested, no one, when I say no one, I mean anyone in our generation is even familiar that ever happened.
True. True. Thank you. I mean, I appreciate it. Another text said, please add Nikki Kelly to the list of public intellectuals. What about Eileen Caron?
Yes.
Put her on the list as well.
And mind you, we know there's academia intellectuals also, right? Intellectuals in different fields, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we say public intellectual, we're saying someone who goal is to develop the Bahamas true commentary, to critique the Bahamas true commentary,
mm-hmm.
Trying to promote the Bahamas true commentary and juxtapose it to other countries, heralding, critiquing us to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
The whole effort is to move forward through their critique. So the list have to be someone who actively
mm-hmm.
critiques in order for the Bahamas to move
forward. I put Andrew Allen on the list. He was writing in the local papers.
I see his name, and that's what he does, yeah.
Yeah, put that on the list as well. Again, like I said, the list is not exhaustive.
Now mind you, mm-hmm. there are some people who have pseudonyms, right, who, even though we don't know who they are, and I would even question whether they are public intellectuals in general because they don't say who they are, like that Simon on the porch.
Front porch
and whatever it is.
Who is Front Porch Simon?
And mind you, who he is would benefit the Bahamas, as we can appreciate the stance where he's coming from. So there's always a void trying to understand what is the objective, where's the slant, where's the lean. So when you listen to him or read what he says to say, is he promoting the Bahamas to go move forward? Because we don't know who he is, we don't know what his motive is.
Right. There's also a writer, Diogenes. Mm-hmm. And Diogenes, when Diogenes writes, they write in the plural, in the third person, mm-hmm. we. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. So I don't know if Diogenes is a group of people mm-hmm. that craft these statements together, a group of people, and like each week somebody else takes hold of the pen, or if it's just one individual who's using the third person? Mm-hmm. Third person, we, when they write.
What about Larry? That's Scott, right? That's Larry Smith.
He I think died. Larry Smith.
Yeah, he died some years ago. Married Larry Smith. I can see his face, but
yeah,
Conquer Joe Bohemian. He writes all the time. History,
okay,
and social commentary. Now he was a resource that right. you could research and bring forward and say, man, did you read this? And also the people who write Bohemianology.
Mm-hmm. I know the name. You want me to call it?
No, you just say the people who write.
The people who write Bohemianology.
Yeah, they never identify anyway, themselves.
They are worthy of praise.
Yes.
For the work that they're doing.
And for the work they're doing, and no recognition.
Right. They're worthy of praise. And in that instance, I think that's slightly different. I've never desired a name. Like, I want to know who's doing the work, but I didn't need a name to validate what it was they were doing. So text day, I disagree. I can read a text without checking the author as often as I often do and successfully determine whether the article is factual, missing key support, or whether the author has some bias. In fact, I had to do this as a part of a thesis, critiquing papers submitted to various scientific journals looking for fallacies. It is true, though, that once you determine a bias, if you examine the author and their body of work or history, it can give you a window into where or how the bias originated. Great text. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Great.
Good morning.
I didn't hear you mention Ruby Ann Cooper Dollar.
Then I will critique you, too, and ask you why.
She has a good article that is put in the papers, I think, every Thursday. You need to check it out.
Okay.
Ruby Ann Cooper Dollar.
Ruby Ann Dollar. She gets some good points. I have somebody that reads it to me every Thursday.
Okay.
And she hits some good points. She doesn't do it as a political thing. She just speaks.
As a social commentator, yeah.
You know, whatever situation is going on into the country.
Okay.
I didn't know. Yeah. I did not know. I shall look at
this. Yeah, she has a thing. I think it's the Tribune.
Okay. She has been added to the list, definitely.
Yeah, and this, she just didn't start this last month or last year. This was years now.
Absolutely. Thank you. And that, thank you very much. That's exactly, you know, the space I'm trying to create where people say, well, hey, listen, this is somebody that I've followed and I consider to be a public intellectual. I am enriched or I learn something when I tune into what it is they're doing. LOL, another text, in reference to talk radio 40 years ago as a child, I can remember my Grammy arguing with a young Larry King and I'd look at her and wonder why Grammy talking back to the radio. He can't hear her. In his heart, he could hear Grammy cussing him. I mean, politely critiquing him. In his heart, I get a text here that says, add Joey Gaskins to the list. Mm. Young professional making strides both in the Bahamas and abroad. Producer, we can go to one of them songs in a second, but let's go to the caller first. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Morning to you and your co-host. I would like to add to that list person in the way of Dr. Miles Monroe.
Okay.
He was an intellectual and very influential person. There's also Bumpy Watkins. He was also an intellectual person that I find enlightened a whole lot of persons from my generations,
mm-hmm.
my generation. And another person, a third person would be C. Allen Johnson, if he could be added to that list.
Why not?
He's also an intellectual.
Right. His expertise is tech. Is the tech world, tech and tech finance. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Plus, he's consistent. Always doing commentary.
And producing both sort of audio commentary. He's producing the written in the written word form. Thank you very much, caller.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder.
Absolutely. Producer, play any one of those songs for me on the list. If you play Burma Road, if you play any song, you choose any song, producer, but if you play Burma Road, we can talk about how Ronnie Butler was talking about how they used to eat crab and dough and ting, and now all these by them eating steak and ting and ting. And I asked myself, do we talk enough about tourism and how large-scale tourism has changed the face of the Bahamas in 40 to 50 years, from Freeport to Atlantis? Atlantis being the marker when tourism became a year-round business. All year, every month, every day you could go to work, as opposed to the on-season and the off-season. And do we talk enough about that? I was listening to the song last night, and when Ronnie Butler said, and they come around me eating steak and ting, I ask myself, is Pat Ramming the only person still consistently interrogating and writing about tourism in the Bahamas? Right? And then it leads me to another question, which is, the song Sweet Day? It leads me to another question, which is, have all of the public intellectuals been forced to engage through other mediums like literature, plays, arts and culture, music, because the political class and the political culture eradicate every space created for public discourse or shut it down with a most amazing, I mean, they have this formula of sycophants and party supporters who could shut down any conversation. Anyway, producer, that's a sweet song. Let's play something else. Play something by Eddie Minnis, maybe Finance Man, or one of these 755 songs I have on this list by KB. KB got jokey leaders. He got civil servants. He got red plate. He got hook on Facebook. He got they selling. He got the haves and the have-nots, Freedom of Information Act, oil fish, hold their feet to the fire, Captain Kangaroo, they sitting on us. And that's just a short list. Is KB, perhaps,
you deep, man,
one of the most prolific public intellectuals who has selflessly, because the man is bright and sharp as ever, dedicated or selflessly decided that he will engage through music and culture because it is the broadest medium and perhaps the most effective to capture the minds of Bahamians?
I would also add Amanda Colson in terms of what her work is and what she does to the public discourse, or where we go in Bahamian art. Yes.
I want you all to know we get plenty phenotypically white Bahamians on this list, as well as African descent Bahamians. As well, it's not about color, right? And so now we swing back to the politicians. The question I had was, when does a politician become a public intellectual? So on that list, I got Pierre Depuch.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Charles Carter.
Yeah, okay.
Producer, let's cut the music. We're going to go to a call in a second. Let me ask this caller if they consider Charles Carter a public intellectual. Mm. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Are you there?
Yes, good morning. How are you guys today?
Good, doing thank well. You. How you do?
Yes, I have one that I can think of that I know for many, many years for educating the Bahamian people, and that's Dr. Barrington Brennan.
Absolutely.
Yes. I think we mentioned his name.
I'm glad I have him on the list already.
Okay, good stuff. All right. Yeah, thanks.
You're right, caller.
Yeah.
Thank you. The text here says, an intellectual is a person who has a lot of knowledge and engaged in critical thinking, research, and reflection about the reality of society. The intellectual prefers to think about things on an abstract or theoretical level rather than a practical one, and proposes solutions for the normative problems. I want to say that an intellectual has developed the ability to imagine beyond what has been perceived by the common mind.
I love that too. I mean, I love the texter's definition too, but I love the idea about imagining, right?
Yeah.
And if the if you're not don't have the ability to imagine a new Bahamas, a different Bahamas, mm-hmm. then you're not adding to the discourse.
Right. And so then when you hit that point, then you understand why a Hubert Ingraham, why a Perry Christie, why
is not a public intellectual.
No man, that's not what I was gonna say.
Okay.
Why a Simeon Hall?
No, I like Simeon Hall too. He does add to the
right.
conversation.
These are three individuals who tell a public story about a sort of failing academically and socially. Dropping out of school, right? Leaving academia, and not in a positive way, but having experiences that cause them to imagine beyond their current circumstances and to go from dropout to prime minister. It is that imagination that also inspires the public intellectual.
But don't all of our politicians have that same narrative?
I mean,
straight across the board.
Only three. The mother said they can't even tell. The only smart thing they've said done is, except for Davis, is not tell that story. I got a caller, so and
the,
then
we have a prime minister said he could barely read. He have that speech impediment, and the idea that he dared to go as prime minister, knowing that he has challenges of talking straight.
Davis, you referring to Ingraham?
Actually, that's three prime ministers who we couldn't talk.
That's right, Pinlin.
That's that before everyone called the Pinglet.
You said Christie couldn't talk?
No, Pritchard couldn't talk.
Oh, Pinglet
couldn't talk.
Oh, you meant
Minnis.
I forgot he was Prime Minister.
You forget
Minnis
was Prime Minister?
Let's go
you
to the phone.
You blocked that whole 4 years out?
My fellow residents.
Go into the call, because I want to ask a question also.
Good morning.
A little question.
Hello.
Hi, morning.
Yes, you all have a great show, actually. I listen all the time.
Thank you.
Do you have Dr. Nicolette Battle on the list?
Yes, definitely. We got Dr. Nicolette Battle on the list.
Okay, thanks.
Without
yeah.
a doubt.
But thanks for the reminder.
Yes.
Definitely.
And always, it could always take a reminder.
I don't want to detour the conversation,
mm-hmm.
but something is happening on Friday, and I want to bring that in the conversation
yeah, okay.
of public intellectualism.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the Afrinamers have a leadership race,
mm-hmm.
right? And the two persons who are running for leader of the party, right, are having an event on the same day, the same time, right, at two different places,
mm-hmm.
splitting their party up to decide who they should support. Is that public intellectualism?
No, that's called gang culture. Public intellectualism would have been to have both speakers speak at the same event and to create an environment where people are not afraid or concerned to express their opinions publicly within the safety of their own party.
Mm-hmm. Suggesting a one big tent that we all are one
right.
and that we can come together in spite of this divide and conquer concept.
Absolutely.
And I said, I wanted to mention it, and it juxtaposed to this public intellectualism.
Mm-hmm.
Do any of these men have it? Because clearly, they ain't seeing it. They ain't seeing it.
I producer play the buffet by Eddie Minnis. Oh, we got to go to a break. So play the buffet by Eddie Minnis to take us to the break, because we got to put Eddie Minnis on the list.
Caller, we see you. We'll come back to you when we come back.
Yeah,
break.
You see the producer play the music on me. We got to go to a break. But Eddie Minnis is on the list next to KB as public intellectual who made their contributions through music.
Yeah. KB is at a different level, though. I mean,
Two different generations.
Yeah.
They both have prolific anthologies.
Yeah.
The Buffet by Eddie Minnis. Some people just call it The Banquet, but I think they foreigners. I ain't sure. They could come eat. Don't matter. Come eat. When you're ready to go to the break, producer, let's go to the break. We come back. Are naysayers aware of the state of healthcare in Nassau? Ask Davis. Davis, are you aware of the state of
healthcare? Fly out. He ain't aware. He's fly out.
And listen, don't use the excuse that your daughter made an executive decision. We understand it. We accept it. That's nature. We're not going to fight that. Don't
and
tell us
every
everything.
Every working class Bohemian noble can't afford to go to the hospital and I need to have insurance.
Can't.
See, it's flipping the flippancy of the response. Like, y'all ain't know. Even though I know y'all know. Because y'all hurting recently because I was a millionaire and y'all working class
I
people.
Can't afford to buy masks to go into the hospital for health care. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, please. On the Clock with Erin Green, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Where have all the public intellectuals gone? These plates are far too small, and he had 5 pieces of chicken, macaroni and cheese, roast beef, pork chop, rice, and black-eyed peas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Elaine, you hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now?
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying for him out. Ain't be much, boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. Oh. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan. I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Living in the Hands of the Finance Man by Eddie Minnis. Producer, do you know which one of Eddie Minnis' song is about marijuana? Is it UFO or is it Granny Flying? Because I think in UFO, they were in the bush smoking and they see UFO. But in Granny Flying, I think they give Granny something to put in her pipe and she did like it. Anyway, at some point we could close the show with them since the government has tabled this compendium of bills. I can read from the article, Marijuana Bills Tabled. However, notable changes have been made to the religious use of cannabis and the role of pharmacists. I just want to make this point here. The Rastafarian community, or elements of the Rastafarian community, launched a judicial challenge to determine whether they had a constitutional right to consume cannabis. This should have been a major discussion in this whole process of creating an industry to regulate medicinal cannabis, which you could have already accessed. You could already access it through provisions in the law. They're creating an industry to regulate, right? They're regulating a cannabis, medicinal cannabis, and perhaps industrial cannabis industry. Mr. Newry, the presentation at UB last year, the Independent Secretariat's Masterclass Series, the Distinguished Conversation on a Return to Idealism. It was very, very interesting. I see I got 10 minutes left in the show. It was extremely interesting. What was, I think, most interesting was that Sir Franklin Wilson and Sean McQueenie were selected because of roles they would have played in their specific community in the wider country as young men. I do wish they would have had more people on board, on the panel, to sort of broaden the discussion and provide greater context. I wish they had delved a little more deeply into the history of Unicall, which is an organization, a political advocacy group that was started by Perry Christie, former Prime Minister Perry Christie. I'm going to recommend that people go to Celebrate Bahamas' Facebook page, and you can find a recording of the event there. But also, if you go in the Tribune, Felicity Darvill wrote an excellent article, Face to Face, of Franklin Wilson and Sean McQueenie discussed the Bahamas' 50th independence. It's a great discussion. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. Yeah, Ms. Green.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, sir.
I agree with a lot of the choices you all made, but I was wondering, I wanted to throw in a few people. It would be Joseph Darvill.
Okay, yeah, Joseph Darvill.
Dr. Kevin Bethel from Freeport, Dr. Archer, Dr. Cooper, Dr. Pinto, Dr. Roberts, and those who forget, Dr. Dwayne Sands, Aunt Gusara, Dawn from the Eye Open, and the whole crew. Because I realize the role of a public intellectual. So, and I like how they put Miles Monroe there. And I really and truly, all of the Guardian crew, you, C.A. Nuri, I would be like you. I would refuse it, right? Because I realize the role of a public intellectual. But the sincerity is what counts, you know, because what's the point? You know, we listen to Gilbert Morris. I like people who are sincere. When you walk away or from listening to them or listening to a conversation, of course, Chicago Line, Juan McCartney, all of you guys, you know, you learn something. That is the role of it. So the sincerity of the conversations were hard. So I couldn't leave out Catherine and Nikki Kelly. I've learned a lot from them over the years just reading their writings. It doesn't matter. I just being honest within myself. And a lot of others that we won't remember in this day and time. But I look at what comes out of their mouth and what they share with the public and how would you walk away from as a result of their writings or dialogues or whatever. That's what I look at. And so even in an intellectual, with me, I don't know what it takes, but I am not very easy to gaslight or to mislead because I've been reading all of my life and I basically share things. You know, I'm not looking for any notoriety. I just want people to be sincere to the demon people. I represent the fact that you might be intelligent and educated with all the degrees in the world, but you have to realize I represent the public to show you that not everyone is stupid and silly and ignorant. Give thanks. And Mr. Screen,
yes.
As it relates to this dialogue about marijuana and cannabis legislation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even a blind man can see the monopolization of it. What is the problem about cultivation and dispensing? There's a paradigm in which if you cultivate, you cannot dispense or you have no sense, common sense. I mean, there's a lot of things different from even analytics, the innovations and new discoveries and technologies that they haven't juxtaposed with this industry. That's why I know it's designed strictly to enhance a few. I gave out some parameters as to the financial parameters as to what you need for, like, research, dispensing, cultivation, et cetera. I didn't get to hear it. But me personally, I would like to be a cultivator and dispenser. So, but I know the parameters. You know why I want to be? I want to learn the impediments that these oligarchs have put in place that we know they are doing. Because I've been reading High Times magazine for over 30 years, and I listen to their conversations, and I know their conversations are limited, very much so, when it comes to this particular model and cannabis. I know that. Bless up.
Thank you. I'm going to read over. I'm going to look for a copy of the amended bill. I'm going to look for a copy of the amended bill. And put my hands on as many of the amendments as possible to bring to the table a discussion on Monday, including a statement I think that Mr. Strawn did share on air this morning, at least excerpts from that statement. It is a broad discussion. Like, what's important is a number of the bills in the compendium are amendments of existing bills, right? And so you need the existing bill and the amendment they intend to apply to it to be able to assess, I guess, the quote-unquote quality of the amendment, what it will do, how it will change the other provisions around it. And then you got to look at the impact of each bill on the other bills. It requires a real thorough interrogation. Text here says, Lang does not want to be a senator, apart from being seen as a step down for him. Lang has said that being designated as a PEP costs him money. I don't know what a PEP is.
politically exposed person.
Ah, but
he's still a politically exposed.
Yeah, I was about to say you're still politically exposed, sir. There's no running away from it. There's nothing that you can do to remove that exposure. You shall forever be politically exposed, whether you participate in politics or not. Why? That would mean the government would treat its people like full citizens. This would be a continuation of the infantilization on the population, which serves politicians of every stripe. That's a response to something we said earlier. Great show as usual. We as ordinary people will not be granted licenses on it. The government will put a moratorium on the licenses, and only, I ain't calling their names, will have the money. Oh, well, only the big shots. People who have the amount of wealth that a Sebastian or a Brent Simonet have will have the money to get the licenses. And we poor black people will have to be a broker under the license company. Good morning, Miss Green. Please add public intellectual Hubert A. Minnis from private to public practice. Is that a book that he wrote? Did he write a book from private to public practice? And are you saying to me, Miss Green, I weigh your extreme critique of Mr. Minnis, but if you just read his book, From Private to Public Practice, you'll understand why I deem him a public intellectual. I'm going to presume that's what you were saying. Another list. Good morning, Miss Green. Phil Stubbs, musician. Ronnie Butler, musician. Now, I thought about Phil Stubbs and Ronnie Butler and their prolific catalogs, but I'm not sure they would fill the role of public intellectual. Phil Stubbs, definitely storyteller, an important role. I could put Phil Stubbs on the list. I don't know about Ronnie Butler yet. When he made the video in the Speedos, I take him off the list. And Eddie Minnis and Eric Mins?
They're storytellers, too. I think we need more discerning about what is
a public intellectual. Absolutely. Yeah. Wendell Jones and C.B. Moss.
Wendell Jones is a public intellectual.
Okay.
What he does, especially when he's hosting, talking to the mic, especially when he's hosting his program, and for what he did in terms of educating a new generation of journalists and correcting their craft, honing their craft.
Mm-hmm. Quincy Parker.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Many of the earlier talk show hosts, Jeff Lloyd?
Jeff Lloyd, yeah.
Carlton Smith?
Yeah.
Daryl Miller? I can say no. Everything cool. We ain't rowing. I'm not denigrating him.
I'm just thinking to see how.
Yeah. Chrissy Love?
Yes, Chrissy Love did some wonderful commentary. I mean, she was a trailblazer.
Right.
Had a following, got people excited to do things, to get up and move.
Here's what I saw. I saw with Empress in a space that Chrissy Love was waking in, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think my style is influenced by Chrissy Love, right, as well, without a doubt. Empress, what Empress is doing on her show, Empress is taking questions derived from the real experiences of Bahamians
mm-hmm.
and throwing them out to the Bahamian public for response. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Empress got I don't want to say class as in denigrate, but Empress brought to the radio to contribute people who would not ever come to a town hall meeting
yes.
or contribute in any other public space
yes.
in that way.
Yes.
Empress drove that, and I think that space has been inspired by the work that Chrissy Love has done as a public intellectual
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
on the airwaves. I'm going to throw that out there. Producer,
and especially for female talk show hosts, created a space, a permanent space in a man's world. Definitely, they did that.
Absolutely. Producer, play Loose Me, Let Me Go.
I thought he was going to play Granny Fly In.
Oh, or play Granny Fly In. That's right. I tell you, play Granny Fly In or UFO by Eddie Minnis. If y'all go online on YouTube right now and search KB, that's K.B. right? I found a page with a whole bunch of KB music in the album. So you get the album and the playlist of the album. If you go online right now, you could search some of them and download them or pin them and put them in your watch list. Okay, so a texter says, PEP status can lapse in first world countries and major international organizations, i.e. usually 10 years after the end of public political role. Like how, you know, you have to declare your assets and liabilities for 5 years after you leave office or you retire from the government service. Yeah, but in a small island developing state, you don't ever lose your PEP status. Mm. At least when it's a benefit to you, you don't lose it. Mm-hmm. When it's a disadvantage, you're telling me now you could lose it?
When you're able to have the Prime Minister phone number and text him and he responds.
Oh, yeah. Membership has its privileges, doesn't it? Producer, crank that music up. We're at the end of the on-the-clock hour. Yes, Prime Minister, we didn't forget this statement. Our naysayers are aware of the state of healthcare in Nassau, asked Davis. I don't need to say anything more.
The flippancy.
I can stick a pin, Prime Minister, because this may be the nail that seals your political coffin.
No, the man has a hammer with pulled nails. There you go.
No, Cat Island have a hammer that pull out nails.
That's called magic.
Not him. Our naysayers are aware of the state of healthcare in Nassau. I'm going to ask every dead friend and relative I have that passed away at PMH, so I'm going to ask them.
COVID people is dropping down like flies. No resuscitation.
Something, man?
Yeah, we quite aware.
Very, very aware. Rest in peace, my good friend, LeVar Pratt. Fisherman extraordinaire. You guys have a great day.
He looked and bet you see. Drug abuse is on the rise. Got to cut it down to size. He say, I don't know about this generation. They turn into crime.